We're from the Kingsman Tailor's Shop in London. Maybe you've heard of us?
Today marks the beginning of a new age. But I'm going to show you. Say goodbye to the Kingsman.
A bit of a save the world situation here.
Welcome to Statesman.
As your American cousins, we'll be working side by side.
Let's get started.
We've got brains, skills, skipping rope.
Whatever.
Kingsman, The Golden Circle, the sequel that kind of just came out of nowhere. Kind of like the first film. First film came out of nowhere and was a huge hit, talking about Kingsman. Was it Kingsman Secret Service or just Kingsman? I don't recall. I own the damn movie. It's somewhere over there. But either way, though, this film, I wouldn't say it was swept under the rug, but it really wasn't getting that much talked about, kind of like the first one. And it really just popped up out of nowhere for me. And I saw the trailers for these, this film here, saw all the trailers actually, and neither one of them got me excited for the film, I must say. I thought they were just okay, but nothing really, thrown out there that was blowing my mind or anything like that. Matter of fact, that trailer pretty much told me everything that I was gonna know coming into the film. And I don't mean like a spoiler wise, I mean as far as my anticipation of what the movie's gonna be like. You know, I was watching that trailer and was just like, they got a little bit more money, you can tell. There's gonna be a lot more action sequences, gonna be a lot more shit blowing up. There's gonna be a lot of, pretty much a lot of sequelitis isms in here, where it's gonna have that extra cash to spend, so it's like go big, go home type deal. And I'm fine with those situations. I know a lot of critics tend to hate those ideas, but hey, if you can deliver it to me in a fun, action-packed way, hey, you get no complaint from me. I mean, you'll get some complaints definitely here, but, yay. I'm just looking for a fun ride. If you can entertain me, are you not entertained? If you can entertain me in a theater, I'm down to go with almost anything here. So, to get into the review here, we got Kingsman, The Golden Circle, like I said, and we open back up with Taron Egerton's character, Eggsy. Eggsy's coming out the tailor, and he's looking sharp, he's looking fly, until, oh, wait a minute, he's confronted by, let's just say, a guy who couldn't make it into the Kingsman service here. And he just tells him, hey, he's got a metal arm and everything, he's like, hey, tell your cab to open the car and let's go for a ride here. Three cars pull up as well, and he's like, oh, well, might as well. The next note, he ends up sucker punching this dude, they get in the car. And then that the movie just takes off. They have this cool, and I mean cool, to the most badass of car chase sequences, I have to say. This just looks so awesome and cool on screen. You see a piece of it in the trailer where he jumps up over the car door and stuff. They have this nice fight sequence here with these three other cars chasing him and the driver. And They bring in all the gadgets on the car, like when the car loses its tires, they put over new tires over it and stuff. I mean, it was just a cool-ass sequence. Well, Eggsy here ends up cutting that guy's metal arm off, getting him the hell out the car. And then he manages to escape to another lair of theirs. Well, that mechanical hand apparently can move on its own. And what it did was hack into the car's, let's say, Kingsman service here, and found out almost every Kingsman agent you can possibly know about, and their secrets, their whereabouts, all that good stuff. And well, let's just say Julianne Moore, who plays the bad guy in this, she plays Poppy. She's living in Cambodia. She's living in the Cambodian jungle here. She's a billionaire, she says, because she's pretty much like the leader of this whole drug trade and stuff like that. She's made billions of dollars. So the only problem is she's got to hide out in the jungle because, well, let's just say if she set foot on American soil, her ass would be arrested. But nobody knows who she is, and nobody knows if it's an entity or not. She's just kind of like, it's kind of like the Mandarin in the fact that, not the Mandarin from the movies, but just the Mandarin in general, whatever, where he's kind of a symbol for some of the stuff that happens that is involved with him. But he's never really supposed to show his face. That's what we kind of got the same thing here with that. So she's kind of created this fortress of solitude, if you will, with a lot of 50 set themes here. And you know, you got the diners and all that stuff. She even kidnaps... you see it in the newspaper. Well, Elton John gets kidnapped or whatever and stuff. Next, you know, you see him all dressed up and dolled up because she's got her own theater where Elton John just performs 24/7 and shit. I wouldn't be opposed to that, actually. Elton John makes beautiful fucking music, I must say. Either way, though, so Eggsy, he's with his girlfriend. Who is that played by? Oh, that's right, Hannah Ahlstrom. She plays Princess Tilda in here. And he's supposed to have an important dinner where he's finally meeting the parents. The parents were played by Jorn Graneff and who's the mother? Was Lena Andre, I think. I know they're the King and Queen of Sweden, if I'm not mistaken. So he's on an important dinner, and his buddy, the old buddies from the first movie, they're watching. One of them is watching the dog at his back of his place. Well, should little be known, he goes into his office and he finds out, oh my god, fucking Eggsy is a damn secret agent. He's got guns hiding behind the door. And next you know, he puts on these glasses to where he can see where Eggsy is. Eggsy's wearing the glass. He can see everything that's going on. And next you know, here comes some nukes, and it bombs everything to complete hell. It takes out every Kingsman Secret Service agent out there. Only person it didn't take out was Merlin, played by Mark Strong character, because, well... his whereabouts are off the grid as far as his home and all that stuff there. So they decide, all right, well, we got to go shopping. That's their code term protocol here, because everyone is dead. All the people you love, like Roxy and all them, they're dead from the first film. Well, except with the exception of, you know, Mark Strong, Eggsy, and two of his friends, which they really didn't need to be in the film here. So her Julianne Moore, to step to her plan is, she's selling drugs that are pretty much poisoning everyone. It's pretty funny, too, because what I liked about that idea was, like, all the people that can say, oh, I never do drugs and stuff, they start to get these, like, fucking veins popping out of their neck and stuff and go, like, you never do drugs, huh? Why are you all of a sudden got the... So basically, I think it was, like, stage one, you get the blue rash, as they were calling it. Stage two, like, it starts to go to your brain, and I forgot what it does, but it starts making you kind of delirious in a way where you just start dancing and shit. Stage three is paralysis, and then stage four, you start bleeding out the nose and the brain because the virus has gotten all the way up to your brain now and it's cutting the circulation off, so you start to just bleed confusely out your nose until you just die, basically. But her thing is, she has the cure. And her plan is, well, she wants the president to sign to make sure that drugs are all legal and they can be sold, because she wants to be the most wealthy billionaire of all time, which she claims she is in the film. She wants to be wealthy, but she wants the world to know. She wants to be on Forbes magazines and stuff like that. She wants to be known for creating her empire, basically. So she's got this idea where she's going to let everybody get high off to her products, but she's poisoned it. So, and the only way that they can sign this is if she'll give away the antidote to cure everyone. Well, going back with Eggsy here, so they end up finding a stash house, if you will, Eggsy and Merlin here, to where, you know, in a case of an incident like this happens, what should we do? And they find a bottle of I forgot what whiskey it was now. The bottle of whiskey in there, American whiskey too, and it says the Statesman, basically. So they end up saying Kentucky, and they go to Kentucky, Louisville, Kentucky, to be exact. I got family out there, so I know a little bit about Kentucky, Louisville. My favorite cousin's out there. She's got a weird ass accent too. She thinks she's not country. I'm like, girl, you country as fuck. So they get out there and they notice, like, this behind the door here, because they got the technology for this shit. And next thing you know, Channing Tatum shows up, and he doesn't know who they are, so they get into this pretty cool action sequence, I must say here. I will say, Channing Tatum, I don't know what a fuck accent you were doing, but that was horrible. He was entertaining, I'll give him that. Like, his lines and stuff like that, he had me laughing and chuckling a couple of times. He was entertaining. But that accent was horrible as hell. I don't know if this was, like, a stepping stone for him. Like, he pleaded to be one of the American assassins here. so it can give him a little ground to work on that accent, because this is a Fox movie. He's thriving for that Fox Gambit film where he's like complaining that he hasn't got the accent down right. After watching this, I'm just gonna go ahead and say just forget about the accent. You know what? If I can let one thing slide about being faithful to the character for the X-Men and stuff, if Channing Tatum's gonna be Gambit, it's the accent. Just don't even try then, because that I don't know what fucking accent he was doing, but that damn sure wasn't a Kentucky one. And they end up meeting Halle Berry, and they think that Halle Berry, Channing Tatum's character, he plays Tequila in here. Halle Berry, she plays Ginger in the film, and she's kind of their Merlin, their Mark Strong character. She's a behind the desk type of gal. It's a computer hacker basically and stuff. And Tequila, which is playing Tatum, he's their field op, if you will. They also got Pedro Pascal, he plays Whiskey in here. He's also their field operative. Pedro Pascal, man, I really like this guy a lot. It was great to see him in here, and plus he was in the movie for quite some time too. So, and he actually had an arc that came out towards the end as well too, which I was really enjoying. So they figured that they came, because they still know who these guys are, and Channing Tatum's getting ready to set their balls on fire. I was like, oh shit, he's really gonna go through with this. And he's pouring whiskey on them and stuff, and he's lighting the match. He's like, I'm gonna set your balls on fire. Halle Berry told him no, that they check out, because Channing Tatum thought that they came to kidnap, and this is where we get into, what's his name? Colin Firth. Yeah, I was like, damn, why am I blanking on his name? Colin Firth comes back as Harry Hart in here, and he's shaving and stuff, and they go, Harry, you know, they meet him. But, unfortunately, he suffers from amnesia, and they tell him the story. They was like, wait, he was shot, though. Halle Berry explained that they got a Homan beacon tracking or something like that. I didn't really hear her, because I'm not going to lie, I was laughing at the previous scene or something like that. And she said that there was a signal being translated there. So they flew right on over to that part of town, or to that country. And I know you're probably saying, how the fuck they flew to this country that fast? Where they show that they have jets in here that just moves like damn, like a speeding bullet or something like that. And it's like, holy shit, dude. So it's plausible. They get there, and they see the church is all, like, bloodied up and stuff. And they didn't know if he was on their side or anything. But they figured, you know, he's wearing all of our merch. So we got to see if maybe he's one of our guys. They got this technology where I forgot what it does. It goes over your head and it... I forgot what it does or anyway. But it pretty much just damn near cures you, if you will, if you get a shot to the head or something like that. There is some side effects. Like, you'll suffer amnesia for quite a time. You need something to really trigger the effects of your brain back. To make a long story short here, they did trigger the brain back or whatever, which basically Eggsy bought a dog or puppy in this matter. And I'm not going to lie, when he put this gun to this dog's head, I was like, holy shit. I was like, that's really going to piss some people off. I just saw this Honduran film called, damn, oh, was it called Wheels to Kill or something like that? Basically about some handicapped hitmen that, and there's a dog that dies in there and stuff like that. And I saw some people at the film festival, they were kind of, oh, this movie's killing dogs or whatever, stuff like that, you know. Yeah, lighten the fuck up. Anyway, though, it's like, it's amazing. It's like, oh, we'll watch countless bodies drop the ground. I guess it's that whole thing of just animals are defenseless or something like that. So, but I digress. This is a fucking movie. It's not real. So he puts a gun to the head, and the Harry's like, what are you going to do, whatever, and it triggers some effect in here. Unfortunately, he's having confusion, because now he's still seeing butterflies and floating around in his mind. His mind is a little off here, but he's back in the game, if you will. So their whole mission, not to mention, they're just trying to get leads. So there's a sequence where Eggsy and Whiskey, they go to some music festival where they hope to find the dude with the metal arm. I forgot his name. Is his girlfriend, who's played Clara. I think it's Clara. No. Oh, I forgot who his girlfriend was in here. Either way, it don't fucking matter. And I'm not gonna lie, this sequence went on a little too long here, and it went into this scene where, like, there's like this, they have this thing where this is like Mission Impossible, like times 20. They had this little finger condom thing here to where you could go up in, like, I don't know, you got to go into like a fluid area, you know, like it'd be a nose or something like that, your pee hole or whatever. Well, they use this because it's condom, you got to go up the girl's vagina and stuff. They use this thing where I forgot how they explained it, but once you get it up there in a fluid area, it shoots off like a tracking device in them or whatever. I was like, God damn, this is some technology for your ass right here. I was like, how the hell did that little thing show up that? Like, I'm a huge fan of the spy genre, so I always get fascinated when I see stuff like that. I'm like, God damn, that's cool. I mean, that's a lot of work, though, to get a tracking device. Like, you could test their blood ratio and stuff, like if they're lying and all that kind of shit and stuff. Kind of like Daredevil, really. You get Daredevil vision on a person when you put this up in their fluid system. It's like, man, I was like, now I will say it's a little complicated. It's like I can only put it in the fluid areas. I'm like, man, so how do I put this up her nose? I do with like how it should have ended did, and Batman punches Harley Quinn in the face and stucks it up her nose, or like, I mean, because you only got so many holes in the body. I damn sure thinking you ain't want to put it up the asshole. But I digress though. That scene was long and kind of just pointless too, I must say. And then they showed the crotch shot of this girl too, whatever, and how bony she was, and I was just like, she's a little too skinny for me. I'm not gonna. She was like a twig, dude. It's like, yeah, could have got someone with some meat on her bone. Could have been Holly Berry. I'd love to see that sequence right there. But so basically, they're getting the gang back together to stop Julianne Moore because, well, la di da. This whole sequence that Eggsy had to do kind of put a rift between him and his girlfriend. And next, you know, she just kind of goes off the deep end. She starts doing some of the drugs and she's getting poisoned. So now Eggsy really has a motivation to get in there and try and stop Julianne Moore's character and hopefully save the world, if you will. All right. That's pretty much a plot synopsis right there. Let's go ahead and talk about this movie. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say it off the bat. I had a damn fun time watching this movie. Right now, I just got back off from San Francisco. I'm tired as hell right now. But like, just thinking about the movie, I was I'm pretty effing excited right about now. I'm not gonna lie. I'm sitting up here talking to you guys, and I'd be damn if I'd say, wouldn't say go check this movie out, because you'll have definitely a fun time, especially if you got a right crowd to watch it with too. I definitely have the right crowd to watch it with too. Is it better than the first one? No, but I know a lot of people are going to make those comparisons because it's hard not to do it when you're doing a sequel or a reboot or a spinoff or whatever it may be that ties in with the previous movie. See, the first one didn't have any expectations, so it was easy to base a film off like that because, let's be real, that film did some silly shit too. And that's not, I'm trying to defend this film here and like that, but it did some silly stuff in there too. But it had a more of a grounded feel in there where this one, like Matthew Vaughn, he really just said, people came here to see the craziness of this. Let's go balls to the wall. And, you know, watching the movie, I can definitely tell that Matthew Vaughn, he definitely was the one. This was intentional. He was the one that green-lighted this to be the way it was, whatever. Because if I'm not mistaken, this was supposed to be a four-hour film, and he was originally going to, like, split this into two films or something like that. Man, a four-hour film. I would probably get exhausted by that, even if they kept the antics up and stuff like that. But I would try to check it out if it was on like a director's cut or something like that. Because obviously I'm going to get the Blu-ray anyway because I got to get my Kingsman trilogy on here. But I had a hell of a fun. Now, it's got some stupid moments. But I think with Matthew Vaughn, it's kind of like that movie Two Guns with Denzel and Mark Wahlberg. They know how to, the stupid stuff comes up, but they know how to shy that camera away like in a heartbeat. Whereas in Fast and Furious, they linger on stupid shit. And in here, Matthew Vaughn knows it's dumb. He's like, we're just going to put it out there to get a little chuckle or whatever it may be. But then we're just going to completely move on. And this movie is moving. I mean, if the first one is moving at about like a 70 mile or what's the speed limit here? 65, whatever, miles per hour. And it gradually builds its way up to that 85 to 95 here. This one starts off right off the bat, or basically when you're warming your car up, whatever, you know, you start off, you get a little cruise on, you're going 20 miles per hour, then you merge on that 710 freeway right there, right on 7th Street, and you get on that freeway and you start feeling that bad boy, you pump that up, you're up at 50 right now, you're like, you're feeling good, there's no traffic, it's a Sunday afternoon, Actually, that's probably the worst time for traffic here in L.A. It's a Sunday morning. For some odd-ass reason, you ain't in bed jerking off or nothing like that. You on the road, baby. And you like, I'm feeling it. You hit a 45. You're like, okay, okay, no traffic. You hit a 55, 65, 75. This one just said, as soon as you put that key in ignition, rev that motherfucker up to 105 right now. Go. Just go. And that's what it does all the way through. 2.5 hours long, too. Do I think this movie needed to be 2.5 hours? Probably not, because I would have cut a lot of stuff out of here. But God damn it, I got to tell you, that 2.5 hours kind of went by fast for me because it was so damn exhilarating and fun. It was the key definition of what we say here on Movie Spoilers here. It was action-packed. The action sequences were not too far and few between, kind of like in... I'm trying to think in an action movie. Atomic Blonde. I'm thinking, didn't another movie just come out where I saw an action movie? I digress. Well, I can't really remember, but like Atomic Blonde, they're not too far and few between here. Now, I will say, this is definitely going to be the movie where I think audience are going to effing love. They're going to come out of there and go like, that kicked ass. I went to a public screener. It was kind of a mixed bag. It was a mixed bag. It was a general audience and a few critics here and there, or a few people that could get these SAG members and all that stuff. A few people that can get these early press screenings and stuff. And I just heard people clapping. It was having a good time. They were laughing. And I'm sitting up there going like, man, this is really entertaining as hell. Now, let's go ahead and get the negatives out. Let's get the negatives out the way first. A lot of people might be complaining on Channing Tatum not being in the film that much. I kind of thought he wasn't, to be honest, watching the film. I didn't think any of the American people would have, except for, you can kind of tell because he has like multiple scenes. Pedro Pascal seems like he had multiple scenes in the movie, so I expected to see more of him. But you only see Channing Tatum in the trailer, the one sequence. I mean, I didn't really expect to see much of them. Holly Berry didn't see much. We see her a lot in the film. Like, she's in here almost all the way through here. Jeff Bridges is in here, too. Jeff Bridges, he plays Champ in here. He's kind of like the leader of the statesmen here. And he's barely in the film, too. Now, granted, I wouldn't lie. I would love to see more of the statesmen and see how they get things done. But, you know, hey, I digress. The negative here is, too, I have about the statesmen and the Kingsmen is... all their technology, well, I wouldn't say all of it, because the condom thing, that was different here. But all their stuff, their equipment and all that, it was no different here, you know. It was a little bit more badass and stuff like that, but Eggsy and Merlin and, hell, even Colin Firth's character, Harry, they seem to all have a grasp on how it works and stuff like that. Then, you know, there was the baseball bat with the baseball itself. I wish we had more just like distinction between the American versus the British weapons and stuff. And we kind of did because the Brits used the briefcases, the suit, the umbrellas and stuff like that. The gentleman-like stuff. And the Americans, they use, you know, like baseball bats and stuff like that. You kind of did, but they didn't really gloss over that like in a full good details amount that I would have liked it here too, because that would have been probably the cool factor of the film here. Everybody gives a great performance in here, or at least a good performance, I'm going to say, except for Channing Tatum. He kind of sucks. I mean, sucks in his accent-wise, whatever, but he's damn entertaining in the film here. I will say the Elton John parts, that might get a little overbearing as well, too, like, because his whole role is there just to tell Julianne Moore to go fuck herself. Like, he's just fed up with this shit and stuff. He does this cool-ass kick towards the end, though. I was just like, God damn, that looked badass, whatever. So, I mean, I thought I was laughing in a lot of aspects of him, whatever. But I can definitely see where people be like, why was he in here? He's wasted or useless, to be honest, and stuff like that. I got some good laughs out of him. Julianne Moore. I'm a mixed bag with her. I thought she was just... I wouldn't say pointless, because obviously you need a villain here and stuff like that, but she really didn't have much of a presence at all in here. She's playing definitely like this 50s type made woman here and stuff like that, even from the way she's her dialogue, the way she gives her dialogue. And she was having a hell of a lot of fun. You could tell she's just winking constantly at that camera. She's just like, I don't know if it's she didn't get it or she was just like, I'm going to ham this shit up. Like, I'm going to take charge here. I thought that in some aspect, I liked her planning or whatever and stuff.
Except for the fact that where she's got a million drones across the city and shit like that. I'm just like, where the fuck are you hiding these drones? Well, you know what? Never mind. Because she did state up in the movie that she's like, I got bases all over the world and stuff like that. And they showed some of those bases. So I guess that's where the fucking drones are hiding with the antidote and stuff. I don't know how she's moving stuff around this fast, this quickly or anything like that. But whatever. She's the leader of the Golden Circle. I thought her plan was pretty cool and stuff. But I like what they did with the president in this film, too. And I wish I could remember who played the president. I'm looking, trying. I don't think I'm going to find it. Whatever. Whoever played the president here, he was funny as hell because he started laughing. He was just like, it's almost like a stereotype of Americans in this film. Like, Matthew Vaughn was just making fun of Americans. Because he stereotypes the president to be like this dumb, careless fuck, to be honest, whatever. And like, he kept calling Poppy, who played Julianne Moore, she's like, that dumb bitch. I was like, he's like, she expect me to sign this thing on the end the war on drugs so she can cure the people who use drugs in this country? He put his feet up on that desk and said, fuck those people. He was like, wait a minute. He's like, I'm going to go down in the history books as the president who ended the war on drugs, whatever. You know how? By letting the people who did drugs die. Because he pretty much said, he's just stringing Julianne Moore on. He's just laughing behind her back. And he's just kind of stringing her on saying, I love when he called her a dumb bitch. I don't know. The way he said it, that accent he had and that chuckle, whatever. I was like, he's kind of like, he's like, I'm just going to let those people die or whatever. He's like, they broke the law. They went out there and did drugs and stuff like that. Well, let's let them die off or whatever. We don't have to worry about these lawbreakers no more. And then I'll be go down in the history books as the greatest president who ended the war on drugs. Think of that campaign for next election here. And in some aspects, I was like, well. So he pretty much told the news media, he just said, don't worry, we're working a deal. And so he's making it seem like he's working a deal. I'm not gonna lie, that's like some George Bush shit right there, to be honest. I think that's who he's playing, to be honest. Well, I can see George Bush now. God damn, that was a good speech right there. I thought that was a funny. That was probably the best they did with Julianne Moore's character in the film, is just have her interact with the president here. Other than that, she just really sits at a fucking table all day throughout the whole movie and just stays on the side. She does absolutely nothing. She's got like robotic dogs and shit. She's even got like some housekeeper maid that looks like that damn thing from the Jetson, that robot maid or whatever and stuff, where they got a tattoo like this gold circle on you, like out of legit 14 karat gold and shit. They burn. I will say she's got a hell of a fucking Medicare system here and a dental plan here, because this new guy that they hired in here, who was completely fucking useless too, by the way, his name was Angel. He gets introduced by Charles in here. He's played by Keith Allen here. That sequence was just pointless, if you will. I guess it was just to show that she's menacing, but it's like, I don't really need to see things like that to know she's menacing. But I guess she's got to do something because she's just sitting at this damn desk all day. I mean, they cleaned his teeth out and stuff, whatever. They drilled all his cavities. I was like, who wouldn't join up with the Golden Circle? She's hooking it up right here, you know? I mean, she's a little fucking psychotic in her head. You know, she's that chippy kind. She's like that the one positive thing that come out of the Emoji movie was the villain where was smiley or whatever, where she's always just smiling and happy, but she's like, we need to kill them. That's what we need to do. That's Julianne Moore throughout the whole film. She's like, I'm Poppy and I'm willing to you know, she's making burgers out of fucking humans and stuff like that, and I'm just like, oh, clearly people aren't eating that, are they? On your island, or are you just making it and tricking their asses into eating this? But I digress. Another negative I have, too, is the length, obviously. I did not think this film needed to be fucking 2.5 hours. It's got a lot of stupidness in here, too, that I'm willing to forgive. Although I think the 2.5 hours for me flew by, though. When your movie doesn't really have a lot to say, it shouldn't be 2.5 hours. And I don't think this movie had a lot to say, if anything. There are some heartfelt moments in here, but there's also a lot of moments where it's a lot of flashbacks to I don't know, sometime in Harry's previous life or sometimes from the first movie here, and I really didn't need some of that stuff in here. Although I will say those are some of the best parts in the film. I still would say you could easily cut those out. That concert festival thing, you could have fucking cleared that out too if you ask me. I wasn't really that. I know some people probably might be all like, oh my god, I heard someone say he raped that girl or whatever. And it's like, how the fuck is that rape? She wanted him. It was consent. How's that rape? Jesus Christ, man. Oh, that scene went on too long. Oh my god. And the sequence was with his girlfriend, Tilda. Man, I hated every fucking moment of that. Like, that really, for me, that was the moments that slowed the movie down. Because it had a really nice pacing here and stuff. But in here, it was just like, you could just cut that the fuck out, please. It kind of got annoying, especially when they split apart and he's constantly calling her left and right and stuff. And it was like, that's really annoying here. I'm trying to think of some more negatives I might have had, too. I don't really have too many negatives here other than some of the sheer stupidity that goes on here. But I took it as, like, it's spoofing, like, a lot of films in here. And they really do spoof a lot of spy films in here. Clearly, James Bond back in the old day as well, too. If you had an appreciation for those old James Bond, the winking, gimmicky things here, man, they make a lot of nods to those films as well, stuff. Especially when they go to America and he asks for a martini and they give him just a glass of whiskey and shit. And he's like, the best damn martini I've ever had. My positive now. Like I said, everybody in this, their roles are great. Phenomenal. The action sequences in here kick ass. I was highly entertained. The way they use that gun kata, baby. I would say Pedro Pascal, when he's on, when they're in the mountains or whatever, and he's using that rope to slice, he sliced that dude's dick off, whatever and shit. Like, he cut him like at an angle, so it was like, oh man, that dude's dick is like half on or whatever and stuff. Like, you see a little just glimpse of it in the trailer. Like, he's got this lasso that like electrifies your ass and stuff. But not only that, he's got some cool-ass gun sequences, too, where he's spinning things around and all this. I mean, that was fantastic. Another negative, actually, I had now that I think about it is what they did with Harry's character. Now, I enjoyed him in the film. Him and Eggsy, man, they got some great chemistry together. I see why they brought him back, whatever. They work really well together. But, there's this whole movie, they start talking about, like, how he's got trauma to the brain still, maybe. And he's even, like, slowing down a little bit on missions. I wouldn't say, like, he's fucking up or anything, but he's slowing down because he's having effects where he's seeing butterflies and shit. They just completely dropped that. Like, it just, like, out of nowhere, like, once he shoots whiskey, it's a done deal. And the reason why he shoots whiskey in the head, by the way, is because whiskey, when the bad guys were showing up and Eggsy was standing by the door, whiskey didn't shove Eggsy out the way. He knocked the bottle of the antidote out of his hand that they just secured here, and that ends up breaking or whatever. And Harry is like, nah, he's a spy. Hey, like, he's on the other team. He's not working for us. This place been infiltrated. They get into this argument. He's like, your brain traumatized. It's my fault. I shouldn't have brought you onto the field or anything like that. He's like, there's nothing wrong with my brain. I'm fine. It's like, right after he shot him, he was just perfectly fine and stuff like that. They just completely dropped that whole story arc about him and stuff. But they have a really, really good heartfelt moment, though, on the plane where he was talking about how he missed them and stuff like that. And the reason why we do later in the movie find out that Pedro Pascal, he wasn't working for the Golden Circle. He was kind of working for his own thing where he did want to end the war on drugs by letting all the people die. He didn't want an antidote to go out because his pregnant wife was murdered at a 7-Eleven by two meth heads. And when he told that story, he was just like, I was like, I definitely can see why. I was like, well, oh, you're about to die then. And he ends up taking on Eggsy in this cool-ass action scene with Eggsy and Harry here. But they end up just grinding his ass in Poppy's restaurant, digress. I would say my favorite action sequence, though, that third act, man. Woo! Man, talk about, because Merlin ends up dying in this scene. And I was like, no! Mark Strong! He's finally part of a franchise that was, like, making money and stuff like this. And I was like, no! Why does Mark Strong always have to get the boot or the shaft or whatever? And don't trust me, I don't think you bringing him back. They blew his ass up, okay? This was no bullet to the head type deal. They blew his body pieces up here. They get to Poppy's island here, and they got to stop everything. You know, they got to stop. They got to put a stop to her and stuff. and Eggsy ends up accidentally stepping on a landmine. Mark Strong pushes him out of the way and steps on it himself. And then the music in here, I thought, kicked ass, too. It really helped the action sequence. He starts humming this song, and he starts singing it out loud. I forgot what song it was, and I don't know why, because I was singing it in the theater under my breath as well, too. And all the guards, they're like, oh, someone's here. Is he respecting another lawyer? He starts chopping down the bushes, whatever, and they come by, and he takes his foot off, and he blows them the shit up. And they have this nice little heartfelt moment between Harry, Merlin, and Eggsy. It was really well acted, I must say. I thought it was really phenomenal. And then Harry and Eggsy just goes balls to the wall. Actually, they pull that briefcase. This briefcase just turned into so many goddamn things. And then, like, this umbrella, what they do, use the baseball bat. I mean, this third act, it was talking about action-packed. Eggsy has his fight with the dude that has the metal arm, which he ended up hacking into his arm and making him do all kind of crazy shit. Elton John had this little action sequence where he did this fucking Bruce Lee Ryu cross kick type deal or whatever, something like that. What else happened? I mean, it was just cool as shit. They were using all the gadgets. I mean, that's like the perfect example of how I want a spy film with all the gadgets and stuff to go off, whatever, go off with a bang and action packed as it was. Yeah, I was enjoying myself this third. I was smiling the whole way through. I was just like, as ridiculous as some of this looks, I was like, I'm having a damn good time. I was like, woo, this is awesome here. And that action, the way it's shot too, Matthew Vaughn really knows how to move around with that camera. And it's funny because he's not usually one of these directors that's known for the camera techniques or nothing like that. But I would say he really excelled on just how he was moving the camera and the slow motion, how he knew how to use it in certain aspects here. I mean, it looked really fucking great in here. And I'd love to see this dude. Actually, and this is his first sequel, if I'm not mistaken, too, he's ever done. Because he didn't come back for X-Men. He didn't go back to Kick-Ass. So he's Fox go-to boy, you know, whenever they need something. And I'm telling you, they need to get this dude back on X-Men. He needs to do his own trilogy or whatever it may be. Because, man, this dude just knows how to shoot action. That was the best, I would say, out of all the X-Men sequences, First Class had the best, even though I know it's my favorite film. People are going to be like, my favorite X-Men film. They're going to probably say I'm biased here. But that last third act, I would say, even the training montages, he really knew how to work that camera on showing every team member in these action sequences here and stuff. Where you come back to fucking, what's his name, whatever, Ryan Singer's non-camera moving ass, whatever, and just stand there and shoot shit, whatever. But Matthew Vaughn, man, I gotta say, this dude with his camera techniques, I was enjoying the hell out of it. The music, I love that score, the Kingsman score you hear in the trailers and stuff like that, from the first film as well, too, here. It sounds like a riff off of the James Bond theme here, too. But more of a very, very different version here. I forgot the composer who does it, but it's really damn good. I love that score in here. The soundtrack, although I did enjoy it in some aspects here, I thought that they could have probably got a better soundtrack, to be exactly with it. I gotta say, I think this movie, if for critics, it's really not gonna do it for them. They might be entertained, but they're going to pull out some points. And you can't argue with them either. There's a lot of stuff in here where you just got like, what the hell? For me, I was able to overlook it in some of the aspects because it just moves so quickly and gets away from those situations so quickly that it's like, oh, okay. I don't think they did enough with the Statesman in the film as well, too. I don't know if that's like future spinoffs. But then we see towards the end here, once they cure Channing Tatum's here, they tell him, why don't you go down and see if because he's telling me, Jeff Bridges is telling him, you don't have a tie or nothing on, it's a formal event. He's like, maybe you should hang out with our Kingsman people here and see if you can get your style game back up or something like that. And then the ending movie is Channing Tatum getting out the car with a suit. And I knew it was Channing Tatum just by the way he was standing. That was like, the British Eggsy and Harry, they don't stand like that. And he gets out, and he's got, like, the fucking top hat on, the glasses, and the suit on and stuff like that. And I was like, is that setting up the third one? Because I was like, I'm not going to lie, I've been liking Channing Tatum lately, but it's like, I'd like to keep it with Eggsy and Harry, to be honest. I don't want Channing Tatum there. If you want to do a spinoff, then by all means, go ahead and do that with the Statesman here and just keep it focused on Channing Tatum in there. But Yeah, not for my third one. I want to stick with Eggsy and Harry because, man, they got a lot of good chemistry together. That's where a lot of the heart of the movie is at, too, as well, especially between the three, Eggsy, Merlin, and Harry. And what they do at the end just really kicked ass here. And also at the end, too, Eggsy gets married to the girlfriend, which, by the way, like I said, I could do without those sequences there because it really don't. Kind of conflicts with his job, too, as far as being this undercover Kingsman agent. And she's the fucking princess of Sweden, you know, soon to be queen. It's like, that really just conflicts with each other there, especially since you married her, but I digress, though. It's got a lot of stupid moments in it. It's got some dialogue in there that make you go like, what the fuck, or whatever. It's got some sequences in there that'd be like, I don't make any damn sense. Hell, the robots and stuff like that Julianne Moore has. Hell, Julianne Moore, she might seem, for some people, they'd be like, she's in a totally different movie here, which I kind of agree in some aspect. Like, I think she was kind of creepy in her own way or whatever and stuff. And the movie is kind of goofy as well, too. But she was, like, goofy, like, on a whole nother movie level. Like some of the action sequences and stuff were goofy in the sense of it's like, oh, that's just clap and laugh out loud moment right there. But with her, it's kind of like, she felt like she was in an Austin Powers movie. Yeah, actually, you know what? Now that I say that, I definitely can say it. Yeah, she felt like an out. So I would say that she kind of felt out of place in some aspects, her character arc there and stuff. The Elton John moments, for me, I laugh, but I can see for some people that might just get annoying. It's just like, really? Why is he even here? And then the whole virus thing towards the end as well with the drones and all that crap. That might seem a little implausible and ridiculous to some people too, whatever. But I had a damn good time watching this, man. And I think most people will have a good time watching this. They'll just be like, yeah, whatever. I think the problem with this movie, though, is it's not as good as the first one. And it's probably not going to have that lingering effect that the first one had. Like, this is just like a popcorn film. I'm heading to the theaters with my buddy type deal. And we're just going to have a damn good time watching it here. This isn't something I don't think you go back for repeat viewings over and over again. Or necessarily, because we're about to step into Oscar season now. Or necessarily, I don't think that this is going to film that's really going to stick with a lot of people, even the people that enjoyed it and stuff like that. Like, I enjoyed the hell out of myself here. I can definitely see, like, by a month by now, I probably won't even remember that this movie came out this year and stuff like that. With that said, though, it's, in the 50s right now in Rotten Tomatoes? I think that's probably the perfect place where it's need to be. Either you're going to enjoy yourself, have a good time, or are you just gonna be like, eh, that movie was whatever because the first one was better or whatever and stuff. So, eh, whatever and stuff. But me, I'm definitely dropping a low seed on this film. I had a damn good time. It's a lot of fun. I'd like to go see it again this weekend when it comes out. Probably doubt that, though, because most likely I'll want to stay in bed. But it's not one of those, oh, I need to go see this again or whatever. It's more of a, yeah, I want to see it again or whatever. So, like, you know, if I have a buddy or a homegirl that says, hey, I want to go see that movie, I'd be like, let's go. Well, I want to go check this out again. Let's go. But it's not on my to-do list or at the top of that list to get done neither. So I'll drop a low seed on this bad boy. I mean, think you, once you go see this, you're going to have a great time. But there's definitely a lot of silly and goofy stuff that is probably taken from the first film that just blown up 2,000 times even more. But I don't know. You never know what you might expect out of here. So I recommend go seeing it. So low seed.
Maketh man.
Do you know what that means?